Bonjour.
Welcome to a new episode of So French, the show about the twists and turns, intrigues and insights to all things French.
Every 2 weeks, we select the best, most interesting and fascinating of French news stories, all brought to you from the heart of Paris. And bonjour also to all of you listening on World Radio Paris, the digital radio station in the Paris region. So French is broadcast every second Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and then rebroadcast throughout the week. And you can also check out the rest of WRP's programs on worldradioparis.fr.
I'm Sarah Bachelson.
And I'm Stéphane de Vries.
And this week, we'll take a closer look at how the state of emergency laws here in France are being slammed by rights groups. They're saying that the exceptional measures to fight terrorists are actually being used to stop peaceful protests.
And as the general election is coming up this weekend, we already have the results of the French living abroad.
And of course, Maud Descamps brings us a fresh French word of the day, which this time brings us behind the scenes of a very famous tennis tournament. But first, let's just start by going back a little bit in time. This was what it sounded like on the night of the 13th of November 2015.
L'état d'urgence sera décrété. Ce qui veut dire que certains lieux seront fermés, la circulation pourra être interdite et il y aura également des perquisitions qui pourront être décidées dans toute l'île de France. L'état d'urgence, lui, sera proclamé sur l'ensemble du territoire.
That was the then president, François Hollande, announcing the start of the state of emergency here in France. It has since then been extended 5 times. These exceptional measures are now still in place. And the new government, the Emmanuel Macron government, announced last week that they are also planning on extending them for a 6th time. And these measures, I mean, as we say, they're exceptional measures, but they are quite wide-ranging. They go from everything, some, as was mentioned by François Hollande, that traffic can be interrupted, but it also means that searches can be done without an order from a judge. People can be held without charges. And protests and demonstrations can be stopped for quite small reasons, very few reasons.
Very arbitrary, basically gives them police far more power and less power to the judge, which is, of course, the basis of every, legal system, democracy in Europe and in the rest of the world. So it transfers the power from the judges to the police. And of course, that's an exceptional measure. But now it looks like that it's going to become a permanent measure. Amnesty International released a report on it recently, on the effects of the state of emergency in France. And we speak to one of its authors, Marco Perolini. He's with Amnesty International in London. Welcome to the show, Marco. Now, what's your main criticism on the current French state of emergency?
Yes, so the first one, and I would say the most important one, is that the emergency measures that were introduced by the French government in November 2015 after the Paris attacks to prevent further terrorist attacks have been used for purposes other than the prevention of terrorism. So they have been used to, for example, maintain public order more generally in the context of demonstrations. And in fact, these emergency measures have been used to restrict demonstrations. So either to prohibit demonstrations or to prevent individual protesters from attending some demonstrations. So that's actually one crucial point. Because actually, of course, states can, they can introduce a state of emergency. Of course, they have to respect very strict conditions. But the most important thing is that they use, you know, the emergency measures, the derogations, they use them for the purpose they have introduced them. And in this specific French case, we see that this is not the case. Because these measures are used much widely for reaching objectives that have nothing to do with the prevention of terrorism.
Now, a parliamentary inquiry already confirmed that the state of emergency is inefficient and unnecessary, yet the politicians say this is what we have to do in order to protect the people. And now the new government, led by Edouard Philippe, the new prime minister, wants to turn this temporary state of emergency into a permanent one. Is that a worrying development?
Yeah, the bill in fact is quite worrying, and it's actually what we were worrying about. So the fact that now the government is saying, yes, we will eventually lift the state of emergency, but what they appear to suggest is that, in fact, that they will transpose some of the emergency measures into ordinary law, and that's actually what this bill is about, the bill that has been leaked by some media. So we are concerned because actually we think, I mean, first of all, that there are already quite a lot of other measures in criminal law and also in the criminal law of procedure that can be used to deal with, to prevent terrorism and also to carry out investigation of terrorism-related offences. The French Parliament has, in fact, amended and introduced new legislation in the area of counterterrorism in the last 3 years. So there have been already quite a lot of developments. And what is concerning is that now the government is suggesting basically to transpose these emergency measures into ordinary law, but without actually foreseeing more guarantees, more safeguards. So, for example, there is, these measures, the assigned residence order. So this is an emergency measures that can be used to restrict the freedom of movement of specific individuals on very, very vague terms, on very vague grounds. So these people have to, for example, go to the police station several times a day. They can't really leave their home during the night. They can't really travel outside, usually their place of their town or their municipality of residency. So, and these measures is today basically decided that it can be applied by the Minister of Interior, so without any judicial control.
Could that be the definition of a police state?
Well, it's a context where police actually have increased powers, and that's actually what the state of emergency is about. Which in fact is problematic, because actually in the context of a state of emergency, judicial powers or all the judicial safeguards do not apply when it comes to these measures. Of course, actually these measures can be appealed, but the Minister of Interior or other administrative authorities, they don't need any judicial authorization to apply, to impose these measures. And now the problem is that with this new law, for example, this bill that the government is proposing seems to include, for example, so it will include in ordinary French law the same measures, the assigned residency, without judicial control. So basically it's very much what is really worrying is that this transposition of emergency measures into ordinary law do not seem to be accompanied with further safeguards.
And of course, we have seen that even under the state of emergency, terrorist attacks are possible, as in Nice last year, for instance. Mm-hmm. Yet the government continues to say we need stronger laws to protect our citizens. Or basically, they're saying we need to get rid of the basic civil rights in order to protect those same civil rights. And it is amazing that I have the impression that the citizens don't really seem to care about the fact that they're losing their civil rights.
Well, I think that actually the government, first of all, has, huge responsibility. So it's the government who should actually take the leadership and basically saying that it's possible to effectively prevent terrorism without the state of emergency. Well, actually, the government has always said the contrary. So in a way, actually...
Well, that's, of course, politics, I assume.
Yeah, it's politics. But, at some point, it's up to politicians also to be bold and to take bold decisions that may not be entirely popular, but it's also their responsibility to convince the public that those decisions perhaps are the good ones. And when it comes to, I think, the general population, of course, actually people are afraid, and of course, actually the threat exists. somehow, sometimes, actually, there is the idea that people who are targeted by these measures, somehow, they are somehow responsible of something. And this is actually very, very dangerous logic that I think has been introduced with this state of emergency. So the fact that, because actually these measures can be applied to people on very vague grounds. So you don't have, you don't actually require to have to show that a person is likely to have been involved in a specific terrorist crime or in the preparation of a specific terrorism-related crime. You just have to, it's basically these measures are based on suspicions, of very vague suspicions. And I think that this has resulted in this idea that within the general public, that anyway, people who are subjected to these measures are somehow responsible of something, and so they somehow deserve to be targeted by these measures. But in a way, what is interesting is that now, late last year, with the imposition of measures on protesters, this has somehow a bit, I think, changed the perspectives. Because actually these protesters, so the measures that have been applied to protesters, they targeted, very common people who just want to attend protests, while actually the other measures targeted mostly Muslims. So there was actually this idea that, oh yes, some Muslims are targeted by these measures. They probably have done something. So there was a lot of suspicions, in respect of these communities. But then as of May 2016, the government started using, the authorities starting using these measures also against protesters, against, French white people. And I think that this actually has changed a bit the perspective, in the sense that people started realizing that, in fact, these emergency measures can be applied very widely, and that everyone, in fact, can be somehow targeted, and that perhaps the rights of everyone were at risk.
Well, thank you very much, Marco Perolini of Amnesty International in London. And of course, So French will continue to follow the developments around the state of emergency here in France.
Vous écoutez So French.
You are listening to So French.
Okay, we mentioned it before. It's worth mentioning again. This weekend is yet another election weekend in France. It's the general election. It's the first round. But there is one result that we actually already know. Some people voted already last weekend. It was the French living abroad. They actually have 11 MPs. The world has been split up in 11 French constituencies, and the results of these elections were announced already this week.
Yeah, the first round of these elections, and of course here as well, Emmanuel Macron, a big win. He almost won in all the districts around the world, apart from Morocco and Northern Africa, where there wasn't a candidate of En Marche. The person who won there was Divers Droite. In all the other ones, so the United States, Scandinavia, the Benelux, Southern Europe, En Marche came first. Now, there will be a second round because the participation rate was really, really low, below 20%. So the people will have to vote again on June 18 in the final round to elect their MPs for their region where they're living. But at least we can say the Macromania already spread around the world.
It's not as much of a election fever as it was for the presidential election, I must say.
No. Probably the voter turnout will be far lower.
As usual, we must say.
Yeah, that's normal. Yeah. But strangely enough, there's also a sentiment that Macron will probably win everything. So people are like, okay, we'll see. He probably wins. And whereas only 2 months ago, people were saying it will, well, maybe Macron will get elected as a president, but it will be very hard for him to get a majority in the lower house, in the Assemblée. And now he looks at, he will, well, in the polls, he may get 425 seats out of 577. So almost 80% of the parliament.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. He will be the biggest party in history. And we should mention, people tend to forget, he has 0 seats now.
I mean, he didn't have a program for a long, long time. I mean, he started his party like a little bit more than a year ago.
Yeah, in April, and
you know, many of the people who are on the lists, of course, there are some established politicians who come from other parties, but also a big chunk of them are completely new to politics, and they have these crash courses I've heard that they do online, how to become a politician.
Yeah, it's incredible. Over 50% of his candidates, never worked in politics. So that's a positive thing. But on the other hand, it also means that there can be a lot of amateurs or people who have scandals or they really don't know what they're doing. It's very interesting because it basically means that all the other parties are completely wiped out. The second largest party, maybe Les Républicains, the Conservatives, they may get, well, I think they should be lucky if they have around 80 MPs. And that's it. And then the Socialists, maybe 20, Marine Le Pen, about 5 to 15. They will all be very small parties.
This could almost be described as a new French revolution in a way.
Yes, somehow, absolutely. And I think, I'm not sure whether it's a good thing, because of course in democracy you need opposition and you need a lot of variety in the House of Parliament. But if the largest chunk is Emmanuel Macron's party, it doesn't give a real good image of democracy, because it basically means that he will not only have the absolute majority, but he basically has total power. And that could be...
Well, we're going to have to see a little bit how it works out, because at the same time, you do have people coming from quite different backgrounds, and it's not sure that they're all going to just line up and say yes, please, thank you, to all the suggestions from the government. So we will have, I mean, I guess once the assembly has been set, we'll see a little bit how dedicated these elected people are to the government, and how strongly they're going to follow.
Yeah, what of the course, government and proposes. It should also be mentioned that with in these 400 something new MPs, there are quite a few who were already an MP for instance, the Conservatives, but also for the Socialists. So they were fighting each other in this legislature. And now suddenly they will be in the same party, which is, of course, strange as well. So, of course, it has to be seen whether it will work out fine, but at least for the next couple of months, maybe till the end of the year, Emmanuel Macron will have a very comfortable majority. And he can go forward with his planned reforms. So it's clear already that Emmanuel Macron will be once again the big winner of the upcoming general election on June 11 and 18. The other parties, they are really in trouble. All of them, actually. Let me give you an example. There was an embarrassing scene this week on TV where the leader of the Socialist Party, Cambadélis, he was handing out flyers on a market, and some of the locals said, "Do you know actually that you're dead?" so it must be very hard for the Socialists to campaign now, because they really don't believe in any success anymore. And actually, I don't know how it is in the rest of the country, but here in Paris, there are some Socialist candidates, of course, but the logo of the Socialist Party is really, really small. You really have to look for it to find that they belong to the Socialist Party. Some of them have terms like in favor of a presidential majority. So
looks a little bit like most of them, and a lot of people want to sort of put that in front, that they are for the majority, for the presidential majority. It's sort of, that's the biggest sign on their posters.
Yeah, and you really have no idea what that actually means, because they're not candidates for En Marche, for the movement of Emmanuel Macron, but yet somehow they like to profit, of course, from the success of Emmanuel Macron. So it must be really sad for those established parties, because they have been in power for over half a century, now to campaign on the streets in the country and the markets, and knowing that they will probably never be elected, and they will probably be beaten by some 35-year-old young good-looking entrepreneur and nobody ever heard of, but he's running for En Marche, so he will probably get elected. Another newspaper this week said that even a pig with an En Marche poster would get elected nowadays. So that gives an indication about the popularity of Emmanuel Macron. It's time for our So French word, and this week it's not a word, but it's actually a person. Maud Descamps, hello.
Hi, Stefan.
So who's this person you're talking about this week?
Yes, Roland Garros. It's, well, you probably know that, but it's the name of the French Open, a major tennis tournament that is held over 2 weeks in early June, so at this very moment, in the stadium of Roland Garros here in Paris. So the competition was actually named after the stadium, which was named after a French aviator, Roland Garros. He was actually a pioneer aviator who completed the very first solo flight across the Mediterranean Sea. He also was a World War I hero. He shot down 5 enemy aircraft and was then called an ace for doing so. But Roland Garros was killed a few years later, during the war in 1918, and the stadium was constructed only 10 years after his death in 1928 to host France's first defense of the Davis Cup. So about the Roland Garros tournament now. Roland Garros was actually the very first clay court tennis championship event in the world, and it is currently one of the major held on clay. Unfortunately, the facility is not big enough, and there has been a huge fight around what should be done. Some have been pleading for expanding the facility, while others have been fighting for moving the French Open to a completely new 55-court venue outside of Paris city limits. Finally, it was decided to keep the tournament at Roland Garros Stadium here in Paris, but the fight is still going on.
Thank you very much, Maud Descamps, for your So French word.
I don't know how we ended up like this, but we are going for the second time in a row talk about Trash TV and talk about Cyril Hanouna's show Touche pas mon poste.
I thought we had higher ambitions when we started this show.
You know, you never know where you're going to end up.
That's true. In the gutter, almost.
Clearly. No, because this, you know, last time we talked about the homophobic sequence that was shown in Cyril Hanouna's very, very popular TV show. But this week there has been some new developments, and it actually is not linked to that homophobic sequence. But the French media watchdog, the CSA, came out with a sanction on the Touche pas mon poste. And it's a quite harsh one.
Yeah, it is a very harsh one, because it's the first time the media watchdog sentences in this way. They actually forbid to air adverts before, during and after the show for the next 3 weeks. And this is a daily show, one of the most watched shows at that time slot. So
I think it's 15 minutes before the show and 15 minutes after the show. So
the AFP, the French press agency, thinks it will cost about 1.5 to 2 million euros. Wow. in lost income. And this is for, for a joke Cyril Hanouna made a couple of months ago on his daily TV show.
Yes, this was in for something that happened in November last year, where the Cyril Hanouna and one of his sidekicks had what the sidekick thought was a meeting with an agent for what he thought was needed for Tom Cruise. And they were discussing a possible participation of Tom Cruise in the show. This was all set up so that the two, so Hanouna and the so-called agent, were going to get into a fight, which is what happened. And the agent falls over and pretends to be dead. And this sidekick...
Very funny. Sounds very
exactly.
funny.
Exactly. And the sidekick, who has no idea that this is all a setup, believes, of course, that the agent is dead. And he is asked by Hanouna to actually bear the guilt for this for this death. And
he really believes it.
For minutes, he really thinks that he has participated in a situation where a person has died, and where there is also discussions about covering up the whole thing and just dropping off the body outside a hospital, etc. It's a very, very appalling and, you know, absolutely outrageous story that is not funny.
No, it's whatsoever. Not funny. And it's very tasteless, but is it a watchdog's role to do something against tastelessness? Or
I am not the person to judge that. I think that the French CSA watchdogs apparently sees this as their job. There was also another situation where there was this game that was set up for a female sidekick, where she was blindfolded and supposed to touch the Cyril Hanouna's body and guess what body part she was touching. And of course, the whole thing ended up with her touching his sex.
Yeah.
So both of these two incidents, or whatever you call them, ended up then to this very, very unique sanction from the watchdog.
I imagine that Cyril Hanouna himself was not very pleased with the sanction.
C8. The channel that is broadcasting the show is, of course, infuriated by this decision. They say they will do everything they can to change it. Yeah. And, of course, they say that, you know, the CSA has gotten it all wrong and, you know, it's not their role to make these kind of sanctions.
Yeah, and, of course, there's 2 million euros at stake, so...
And this is just a fair... I mean, you know, we still haven't seen anything coming out of that homophobic sequence that we saw 2 weeks ago. So we will see that there might not be the end to the problems for Touche pas à mon poste. And it might not be the last time that we talk about Cyril Hanouna and Science So French, unfortunately.
Unfortunately. I hope next time we can talk about some more uplifting cultural media event. But, we have to do it with Cyril Hanouna for now. Well, that wraps up this edition of So French. We hope you have enjoyed it again. Please follow us on Twitter at So French News. And if you have any questions or suggestions, please send us an email. Our address is sofrench@sofrench.news.
And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast in iTunes, SoundCloud, or in the TuneIn radio application. And please share our podcast with your friends. And if you like French music, check out our playlist on Spotify that we update regularly. We will be back in 2 weeks with a new episode of So French. It will be online and on air on World Radio Paris. We hope you will join us then. Thank you for listening.
Au revoir.